Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we were living La Vida lockdown. But now we're sort of free, but we're still sort of locked in.
Yeah.
We're a bit confused about how this all works. My mother is attempting to sell her home, and she can have very many random strangers attend her premises and look at it, but I'm not allowed to visit her. So, yeah, we don't really know what's going on or why.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're just making the best of it at this point. It's a long weekend. We're having a good time. This is fine.
It's fine.
All right. It's fine. I mean, Bianca and Sarah should have been on Winery Walkabout this weekend. But
don't remind me. I've been in tears all day.
Yeah, we could have been in the market today. At the market. I could have been buying soap. I still have bars of soap. Not the point.
Not the point. Could have been buying soap.
Yeah.
Could have been hung over. We could have been still drinking.
Could have got a baked potato.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But, oh well, we're not bitter. We're going to make the best of it. Anyway, we're taking aim.
Drink my sorrows.
We are.
We are taking aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine, and we're trying to make some sense of it and each other. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Ooh, well, tonight I paired my wine very, very well. Tonight's topic, just you wait. I am drinking The Chronicles. It's a Cab Sav. And
nice.
It's actually delicious, especially with my wine or Samara stuck into the top of the bottle. It's amazing.
If you don't know what
I know. I might try and find it and put a link on the blog so that other people can get a wine or Samara. Yep.
Yeah, don't Google wine or Samara because it's not a thing. Unless we make it into one of our merch items one day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Thing.
Tick.
Okay,
and we'll write that one down.
Yeah,
wine or Samara.
Oh, I will forget that. Until I go to edit this episode, I'll be like, oh, yes.
Yes. Well, I'm drinking Brown Brothers Moscato and Sav because for some reason, when I went to the bottle shop, and yes, I remembered this week, when I went to the bottle shop, it turned out there was a panic buy. That's the only way I can describe it, of wine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in my area, there was a panic buy of wine. So there was nothing on the shelves, and this was all I could find.
And I wasn't even in town this weekend. Like, what's your excuse?
Yep, it's so weird. So, yeah, I couldn't get what I actually wanted, but still got something decent.
Good.
Nice. Well, I am drinking a new bottle from my Wine Pyramid scheme, and it is called Putting On Lou Ritz Pinot Gris, and it's freaking delicious. I can't describe this to you, but it's actually really good, and the bottle is what drew me in, and I'll put pictures on the blog for everybody to see, but the bottle is just beautiful. It's like this 1920s woman sitting there having a glass of wine, and it's just gorgeous, so I was in. So, yeah, that is what I am drinking tonight. So, kicking off, Bianca, what's our topic for tonight?
Wait, stop. Public service announcement, people. So.
Sarah's doing a PSA.
I'm doing a PSA. We Broke Bitches.
Yep.
Now on Buy Me a Coffee. If you want to show us your love, please buy us a coffee. It would help us a lot.
Yeah.
You can do this at www.buymeacoffee.com/Friday Night Wine Fight podcast. Or you could go to our blog, which is fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
We do also have links, I believe, on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Graham.
Yep. Twitter.
Twitter. That's the other one I couldn't remember. And something
it's
else
much everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's
everywhere. Yeah.
So please, if you feel generous, buy us a coffee. If not, just continue to listen. Public service over.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, with that out of the way, our topic tonight is favorite book or book series. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, so I think we're all be excited about this topic. I will just go through a brief history of books. So
what is a book?
What is a book? Yeah. So what we call a book today is very different from what our ancestors would have called a book. The history of book printing starts with tablets, then scrolls and sheets of papyrus, just like our old mate Cassius Dio. It was current events. Yeah, I know. Anyway, after all those, we had elaborate hand-bound and expensive books known as codices. These eventually gave way to press-printed books, which led to the mass-printed books you find in bookshops all over the world. And while I was researching the history of books, I found some very interesting tidbits. I'm just going to go through them. Just got a few points here. I think I probably got a few too many. But anyway, who cares? So when you read and you can hear a voice in your head, that is called sub-vocalization or silent speech. And it is an internal speech typically made when reading. It provides the sound of the word as it is read. This is a natural process when reading, and it helps the mind to access meanings to comprehend and remember what is read, potentially reducing cognitive load. This inner speech is characterized by minuscule movements in the larynx and other muscles involved in the articulation of speech. Most of these movements are undetectable, like without the aid of machines, weird cameras going into throats and stuff, and it was all sorts of gross. Yeah, so one of its components of the Baddeley and Hitch's phonological loop proposal, which accounts for the storage of these types of information into short-term memory. And then you, looking further into that, people who move their lips when they read do this because their brain is actually struggling to understand what they're reading. So if you see someone exerting this behavior, just let them be. Like, don't make fun of them. They're doing the best they can. Literally 110%. Good for you. The fear of running out of something to read is called a bibliophobia. Oh, yes, this is one I loved. The world's smallest book is not the Little Book of Calm. Who knew? Anyway, it is called Teeny Ted from Turnip Town and is verified by the Guinness Book of Records.
Oh. And
measurements are 100 micrometers by 70 micromillimeters.
What the fuck is that?
Would you read that?
Yeah, I know. It's even got like an I don't know if you guys know what an ISBN is. It's like a barcode. So it's even got a barcode, like you can buy it.
But if you can't read it, what's the point?
Yeah, you get the magnifying glass.
Scan that. You fucking
why?
People will be fucking trying to scan it, like, fuck you, stupid book, just scan. And then she'll have to get out a fucking giant magnifying glass. Fuck, I'll just type this fucker in. Okay, what the fuck is this barcode? Fucking shit. Really? I feel sorry for anyone who is selling this book.
I'm going to go and find a copy of that book, Sarah, and you're getting it for your birthday.
I'll buy you the tiny book account.
You guys buy me the tiny book. That would actually come in handy.
Yeah. Just don't swallow it.
Just don't swallow it.
I'm not like even going to ask.
Little book. Bill Bailey in
Black Books.
Black Books.
Episode oh, one. Yeah.
And he becomes like Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that.
All right, next tidbit. There are four law books bound in human skin at Harvard University Library.
Spoiler alert, I don't think it's just four, but that's probably what they say officially.
There's four law books, but there's actually something like there's over 100 books in human skin. Yeah.
Why?
I didn't get, I didn't write down how many, like, which books they are or anything like that. I thought, oh, this will go on too long. I just found it interesting that there are four law books at Harvard University.
Yeah, the lawyers that were, what, the most annoying out of them all? Was it until you?
Why do you think I got out, mate? I was this close to be made into a book. And when they first told me that I was getting too annoying and they were going to make me into a book, I literally thought I was going to be a character in a book. Joke was on me.
Look, mate, you just, all you got to do is get a fork. You're not making a book out of me. And just stab yourself.
Yeah, I did that and they just laughed at me. So
they said, we can still make a book out of you. Yeah, it's just canoes.
Yeah, they definitely
not canoes. Yeah. So another one, the longest sentence to ever be printed in literature belongs to Victor Hugo. The in his book Les Miserables, the sentence is 823 words long.
Oh, fucking Les Miserables.
That's a sentence. That's a rant. Like, that's a rant without stopping. That is literally what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this one. 2.5 million copies of Mills and Boone novels, and we all know those.
Yeah.
Were acquired and then pulped at a recycling firm in South Wales, UK. They were then used to cover the M6 toll road in Birmingham. 26 miles of the six-lane motorway is Mills and Boone.
Wow.
I know. Oh,
something in that. My brain will not compute what it is, but there's something in that.
That is the smuttiest road ever.
Yeah. So my last one, Bill Gates purchased the most expensive book in the world in 1994 for $30.8 million. It's called The Codex Lester and is written by Leonardo da Vinci. When you add inflation to this book, it would cost $53.3 million today.
Wow. Why, though?
That's Bill Gates.
It was written by Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was a bit mad, mate. So, I don't know.
The man was a genius.
Yeah.
He was a bit mental.
Genius, insanity, it's hand in hand. Like,
he was inventing things way ahead of his time. Ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah.
Stu sure was a genius.
Yeah. So, yes, that was my tidbits. I loved that. That was great.
Can I just get back to number one?
As soon as
you said that about reading, like when you're reading and voices in your head, mm-hmm. Morgan Freeman came to mind. And then everything I read after that came out Morgan Freeman's voice in my head.
That's very interesting because some people, it depends on your individual, like the individual person's brain patterns as to what voice they hear. So depending on what I read personally, like if I'm reading a magazine or something like that, it might be in my voice. When I'm reading a news article, like on news.com.au or ABC or whatever, I read it in like
Darren Hinch.
A newsreader voice, yeah, like just generic. Not Darren Hinch, just a generic male voice, even if the article's written by a female.
Okay.
And when I'm reading a book, I go into, like, especially if it's from a character's point of view, it's in whatever, like, if they're male or female, it's in their voice.
See, I fluctuate. Like, all news articles, anything fact or anything I'm reading off the internet, that's always in my own voice. Obviously, I mean, I need an expert on the matter, so, and I'm an expert on all things as far as my brain's concerned, so yes. But if it is a, like, it's a fiction book, it depends. If I'm really into it and it's, like, it's really well written, I find it's in character voices. I can hear the characters. Because in my mind, I've made them come to life in my head.
Yes.
If it's crap, it's my voice just talking for them. Yeah. Unless I'm engaged. If I'm really engaged, then yes, they come to life in my head. But no, anything like news articles and stuff, that's always my voice.
I don't think I really ever paid that much attention. I mean, yes, when I'm reading character books, I will pick up like speech patterns and stuff just from how the authors describe them.
Yeah.
But yeah, normal stuff I'll just read in my voice. But informative stuff, Yeah, Morgan Freeman comes to mind a lot. Unless it's like animals, and then it's David Attenborough.
Amazing.
I love it. Okay. So with that fun stuff out of the way, I'll crack into one of my favourite book series. I was the one who suggested this topic, and I actually really loved how hard it was to pick a book or book series. Like, it was so hard.
It was hard. Oh, my God, it was so hard.
Yeah. Could have picked fantasy, could have gone true story, could have gone, like, full, like, rom-com. And you know what, ladies and listeners, I am staying well on brand for myself. I am going full trash bag. So my book series is Writers, Rivals and Polo, otherwise known as the Rutshire Chronicles, written by Jilly Cooper. Yep.
Sounds like rut shit. I mean, Rutshire Chronicles. Yeah.
It is.
It's the Rutshit Chronicles in my head now.
Rutshit Chronicles.
Rutshit.
Rutshit Chronicles.
So there are, 10 books in total. I've only read the first three. Before researching this, I didn't know there was 10 because I grew up my mum reading Writers, Rivals and Polo. Yeah, and then they were given to me. And then Jump came out and that was also given to me. So when I looked into it and found out there were 10 and Jump is number 9, I'm like, okay, this is probably why I started Jump many times. Felt I was a little lost and put it down because there are so many books in between.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go through the Chronicles order. So Riders came out, was first published in 1986, then Rivals, 1988, Polo, 1991. And then these are the ones I haven't read and knew about them, didn't realize they were part of this series. The Man Who Made Other Husbands Jealous, that was 93. The Passionata, 96. Score, 99. Pandora, 02. Wicked, 06. Jump, 2010. Mount, 2016. And, right, let's just start at the very beginning because it's a very good place to start. And before I read the synopsis. Like, what is the plural here? Does anyone?
I don't know. Synopsis.
I'm going to go with synopsi. So, what was that? Right, my point. I want to say thank you to goodreads.com for the following synopsi because that's where I stole them from. I was going to write it myself and then just Soups didn't. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Goodreads.
Ah.
So, Writers, set against the backdrop of the English Cotswolds countryside, Writers follows the fortunes of a group of fame and money-hungry show jumping stars. Jake Lovell, who I hate, the gypsy-born hero of the novel, he's not, is a brilliant horseman desperately seeking revenge for years of bullying at the hands of a glamorous but brutish aristocrat, Rupert Campbell Black. Oh, yes.
Why do they always have two names? Like, why? Why are they always Freddy two names? I don't know,
but that name was sexy. That was a sexy name.
Rupert Campbell Black. He is. He's such a cowgirl. I'm
always so a sexy character.
Oh, he is. I love that. It's sexy. But a bit of a cunt. So, yeah.
Yeah, but we kind of go for that. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I probably will marry him. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'll marry him.
Yeah.
We could all marry him. It wouldn't matter.
Probably all marry him.
Yeah. So Jake, with the help of his rich debutante wife, Tori Maxwell, yeah, he married up and he didn't even love her. He's just a cunt. Yeah. He's able to set himself up with his own yard and he begins building a reputation on the show jumping circuit. Meanwhile, Rupert is content living a jet set lifestyle with his best friend, Billy Lloyd Fox. Plus a string of beautiful women, horses and dogs. He meets his beautiful wife, Helen McCauley, who's an absolute fucking, I hate her. And that actually does little to curb his promiscuity, and he eventually falls back into the life of parties, alcohol, and casual sex.
Okay, I don't want to marry this guy. I want to be him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be Billy. I love Billy. I actually love Billy more than I love Reaper. I say that. I actually wrote that down a bit later. So when Jake and Rupert meet again for the first time since school, old rivalries are reawakened, and as they fight it out to prove who is the greater horseman and perhaps more importantly, the greater lover.
Oh, my God. That's a really, like, simple question. So, okay, so you've got Rupert, who's rich as fuck, and then you've got Jake, who's a gypsy, so he's poor. Why do they go to the same school?
Because Jake's mother was the cleaner, right. So he got special school. Privilege to go to the school, and he also used to clean after school hours as payment for to attend the school.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. So, yes, along the way, Jilly Cooper gives us a sneak peek into the lives of this close-knit community of top riders, their horses, grooms, and families. We see the highs and lows of life in the equestrian world. So then we move on to rivals, which just, I always felt that Rivals and Polo could be read either way. When I've read the series, I've read it Riders, Polo, Rivals. I've like thrown those two, the next two around. There is no rhyme or reason to read them in this order.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're parallel to each other. So, yeah, they actually run completely parallel.
So they're just from different people's perspectives?
They're just two different groups. So Rivals, we are thrown into the cutthroat world of Corinium Television, which introduces Declan O'Hara, a megastar of great glamour and integrity, with a radiant, feckless wife, a handsome son, and two ravishing teenage daughters. He lives rather too closely across the valley from Rupert Campbell Black, who's divorced and dissolute as ever. And also Rupert's now the Tory Minister for Sport. Declan needs only a few days at Corinium to realise that the Managing Director, Lord Banningham, is a crook who has recruited him merely to help retain the franchise for Corinium. Banningham has also enticed Cameron Cook, a gorgeous but domineering woman executive, to produce Declan's program. She is a badass. She is just 80s powerhouse, short hair, power suits. She's awesome.
Giant fucking shoulder pads.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Take no prisoners. Like, she just eats men alive. I love it. And Declan and Cameron detest each other. And which provokes a storm of controversy into which Rupert plunges with his usual abandon. And because like Cameron sees Rupert as like this, well, I can have anyone, so I'm going to just try have him. Yeah, that's her whole thing. It's great. So this rival group emerges and pitches for the franchise of the station. And reputations ripen and decline. True love blossoms and burns. Marriages are made and shattered. And sex raises its delicious head at almost every throw, as in the bed and boardroom. The race is on to capture the Cotswold crown.
Oh, wow.
I love it. And lastly, we have Polo. So in Jilly Cooper's third Rutshire, or Rutship Chronicle, we meet Ricky France Lynch, who is moody, macho, and magnificent. He had a large, crumbling estate, a 9-goal polo handicap, and a beautiful wife who was fair game for anyone with a checkbook. Mm. Yeah. This book, actually, I don't know if you know much about polo. I actually don't, and I've read the book several times. I still don't know how the scoring works, how these handicaps works. I don't know. But one of the interesting things about this book is that it features the Rolling Stones, it features Princess Diana and Prince Charles, because it's all set in that time period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they went to the polo. Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah, and then, yes, at halftime, you go down and you stamp in the divots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, yes, anyway, Ricky Freshlands also had the adoration of 14-year-old Perdita McLeod.
Perdita
couldn't wait to leave her dreary school and become a polo player. The polo set were ritzy, wild, and gloriously promiscuous. Perdita thought she'd get along with them very well. But before she had time to grow up, Ricky's life exploded into tragedy, and Perdita turned into a brat who only loved her horses. And Ricky France Lynch. Ricky's obsession to win back his wife and Perdita's to win both Ricky and the place as a top-class polo player take the reader on a wildly exciting journey to the Estancias of Argentina, to Palm Beach and Dorval, and on to the Royal Polo Fields of England and glamorous pitches of California, where the most heroic battle of all is destined to be fought, a match that is far more about just winning the huge silver cup. It's amazing. So the thing they didn't talk about there in that one was Taggy. So Taggy is Perdita's sister, older sister. And, oh, boy, Rupert just got turns in this book, and he goes from being, like, this absolute cad to he just loves her. And she is an absolute doormat. And he actually becomes this gentleman and woos her, and he would never hurt her in her life. Like, he would never, ever try to hurt her. And he just changes. Oh, God, my heart. So, yes, like, it's one of the reasons I love these books. She builds these three-dimensional characters with all these thoughts and feelings. But, like, it's not just the people. Like, all these animals, so all the horses, all the dogs, all the cats, everybody's pets. They have names. They have personalities. And they feature throughout all the books. And you get really attached to them. Like, if one dies, you're just like, oh my heart. Like, it's just like watching the movie. The dog dies. And you're like, no. I just, yeah, and I've loved and hated so many characters, as you've just heard. Like, they may be the main characters, but, like, some of them I just hate and some of them I love. Yeah. And I will always be Team Rupert and Team Billy. I love Billy more than Rupert, like I said. He is the nicest guy. He's friends with everyone. He's got no fucks. He's got to go do some competition or something. Oh, yeah, but he'll, like, down some beers with you beforehand. Oh, yeah, no, he's fine. Yeah. Yeah, do you want to smoke this spliff with me? Oh, I've got a race in 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, all right, no worries. Let's go do it. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, that's Billy. Man. Yeah. And, like, it's just no prejudice. Yeah, it's fine. So, yeah, like, yeah, I just loved it. Laughed, I've cried, and I just love it. I think I need the other ones now. So I'm guessing the man who made other husbands jealous must be more about Rupert. I don't know, because, like, everybody was jealous of him. Yeah, so.
Unless there's a new player that comes to the game.
Yeah, and it could be. Because, I mean, Jump is all of these main characters here, like, that I've just sort of read out, and there's a whole bunch more. It's their children, and it's show jumping. Like, I had horsey friends, so I understand some of it. But, like, it's the characters I just don't understand. I'm just like, oh, they're so old. They were babies, and now they're old, and I can't deal with them being babies and now old. Like, they're late teenagers now. They're drinking and doing drugs, and they were babies. Like, no. So, yes, anyway, they are written so well and they just hit differently and I love them. And they're trash.
I love them and they're trash.
Yank her out.
Yeah. All right, it's my turn. So tonight I'm going to discuss a series by an Australian author and his name is Gary Disher. Now, the name might ring a few bells for people who completed Year 12 in Victoria, or the VCE as it was called then. I'm not sure if it's still called that now. I think it is.
Yeah, not me. Yeah.
So anyone who did Year 11, Year 12 in Victoria in the early 2000s, Mr. Disher is known as the author of a book that we had to read for school called The Divine Wind. Mm-hmm. Don't know if anybody else remembers that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
I've got it on my shelf.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it out.
I don't really remember very much about it. And I am a reader. I am an avid reader. So if this book was good, I would have remembered it.
Yeah. Like, I was going to go in. I originally was going to go into all the, like, top books because I've read a lot of them. Like, I've got 1984. I've got The Color Purple and stuff like that. And, yeah, The Divine Wind is supposed to be one of those books that's actually good. People should read it for VCE because it's got a lot of symbolism and all the rest of it, but I hated it.
And I think I got it. And
yeah, maybe I just didn't get it. That's probably might be why I hated it.
I was also a teenager when I read it, so I didn't get very much unless it was about me. I didn't get it. So yeah. However, I was once discussing my love of crime fiction with an old boss who told me that there was a crime novel series based in my old town on the Mornington Peninsula.
Whoa.
What? Hearing this, as any good bookworm would do, I headed straight home and forgot all about it for several years.
Yeah.
If you're a reader, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep. Doesn't matter how much you love a certain type of book, someone will suggest something to you and you'll be like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. And then you immediately forget it. That's exactly what I did with this book series too.
Or you go out, you buy the book, and it sits on the shelf. I have several of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one day when I was roaming the aisles of my local library, which I did regularly up until COVID decided, nah, you can't do that anymore. Yeah, so I was roaming up and down the aisles of my local library and I saw a copy of one of the most recent editions to the series. So I read it, even though I hadn't started with the first book. And it turns out it was book 6, so I missed a lot.
There was a lot
I didn't really quite understand. But I couldn't find the first one. It wasn't at the library. And then I'd have to order it in. I was like, nah, fuck it. If this one's crap, I'm not reading them. Anyway, so despite not completely understanding the characters and the backstory, I was utterly engrossed in this book because the description of the main town, which is called Waterloo, is actually the town of Hastings where I grew up. So the description.
Couldn't escape if I wanted to.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought too. As soon as I read that, I was just like, oh, in this town of Waterloo, I'm like, it's Hastings. Still, couldn't escape if I wanted to. Yeah. Basically, Sarah.
Yeah, basically my life.
Yeah, so I love so much about the descriptions and things like that. I'll talk a little bit more about that. So the description of how you can look out the window of the police station, like on the second story of the police station, and see Macca's, and the description of the main street, including the shops and the way they were around the time that it was being written, right down to the descriptions of the back roads that you only know about if you live there.
Yeah.
It's eerie. And it's good. So I was so hooked. Oh, my God. So I went back and I read all 7 books and I loved every minute. I loved it. So the book series goes like this. It's the first one is called The Dragon Man. It was written in 1999. Second one is Kitty Hawk Down, written in 2003. Next one was Snapshot, 2005. Then Chain of Evidence, 2007. Chain of Evidence was probably the hardest one to read just because of the content of what's in there. It's an interesting one. It was definitely really well written, but is one of those trigger warning ones, so just be careful of that one.
Yeah.
Then Blood Moon, 2009, Whispering Death, 2011, and Signal Lost, 2016. The description of the Mornington Peninsula and the towns that inhabit the area are as far as it goes in terms of how much truth is in these books. So none of the crimes depicted in the books occurred in Hastings, as far as I know. And if you're looking for a true crime series, this is not it. You are not going to read these books. Yeah, you're not going to read these books and go, oh, that actually happened. No. That's not going to happen. You just read them for what they are. And for Australian listeners, it's much like, you know, like on Blue Heelers with like Mount Thomas was this tiny little country town. Yeah. And it turns out it had a higher, you know, it had a higher crime rate than like New York. Yeah, it's similar sort of thing. I don't know that any of these, the content that's in these books is even been inspired by true events. I have no idea. I have read a bit around sort of the backstory because I wanted to know, well, where does all this come from? You clearly know the area. You either live there or you do live there. How? Like, where does all this come from? And so, and I did actually know somebody who was a police officer in Hastings at the time. And when speaking to that person, who I will not name, I was describing some of the things and they're just like, I haven't been here that long, but none of that sounds true. So, unlikely to be true, but still a really, really, really good read. If you love crime fiction and you want to be engrossed by an amazing author, I strongly suggest you look this series up and read it. Now, since I'm a bit of a reader, I thought I would do some honourable mentions because when we were discussing doing this topic, I was not okay with trying to pick one book or series. I was not okay.
No.
Wait, one. Just one. No.
Nope. I know. Nope. Like when we first started discussing, I could feel your like head just go boom. Yeah.
What do you mean one series? What do you mean one? That's insane. So, yeah, it was not okay. So I'm going to give some honourable mentions. Tomorrow, When the War Began, the whole series by James Marsden. For all the snowflakes out there who shit on this series because the description of the troops that are actually invading Australia is a bit racist, you know what? Just pretend they are aliens. It doesn't matter. It's the point of the story. Actually, read it. They're really good books, and you really, really should read that series. Dexter, if you don't like the show, the books are good, so read them anyway. That's by Jeff Lindsay. And one of my favourites from the dawn of time, well, since I could read, The Babysitter's Club. Yep. Taught me everything that I would ever need to know about babysitting and being a teenager. It was by Anne M. Martin. And the last one that I actually didn't write down, but I just remembered I needed to do this as a shout out. I started this little thing with myself when I started going overseas on a regular basis for holidays. And what I would do is I would buy myself a book to take with me. So what I did on my very first big overseas trip, I went to the bookshop and I picked out a Linda LaPlante book. And by reading the back, it looked like it was actually the first one of the series. It wasn't. It was number two in the end, but fuck it. It was fine. And it is the series that's sometimes known as Beyond Suspicion. It was made into a TV series as well. But it's the Detective Anna Travis stories. So read those two. They were also really, really good. So, yeah, that's me.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, then, that means it's my turn.
What are y'all ready for? Not for us, Sarah.
Shit.
What utter rubbish are you going to tell me about?
You know what?
It can't be trashier than mine.
Just because Sarah. I picked Mills and Boons doesn't mean anything.
Sarah has told me to read so many things in my lifetime, and I've got to say not all of them are crap. Admittedly, not all of them are crap.
No. However, no, she, really? Sarah and I have shared many book clubs, actually.
Yes. Yes. And just because our interests don't necessarily line up, she does usually have okay taste. But then there was this one time where she told me to read the freaking Twilight series, and I bloody did. Jesus Christ, waste my life.
You know what? I have recently read Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
Which is Twilight. It's Twilight, but from Edward's perspective.
I want to borrow it.
And you know what? It was double the thickness of Twilight. And I looked at the book and I went, holy shit, is that like every one of the books in one? It'd have to be. No, it was just the first one. This dude has a lot of thoughts. He talks a fucking lot. What and a shit author, goes on.
The author is clearly milking the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
As she ran out of money. That's what that's about.
Actually, no, because I think she has a whole bunch of other series as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there was that Alien series, The Host. I read the first one.
Yes. And I watched the movie and I actually liked it. I liked it. It was weird, but I liked it.
Yeah, the book's weird.
But that was one of my honourable mentions. Also, Percy Jackson. I love that series. Rick Riordan. He does, the Percy Jackson series, then the Heroes of Olympus, which is basically because Percy Jackson is the Greek side of mythology. Then you have the Roman side. But he also does another series, which is Egyptian mythology.
Oh, okay. I had no idea of this.
Yeah, which is also really good. Then there's Janet Ivanovich.
Those ones were not bad. Actually, I read maybe two of them and they weren't bad. Of all the ones that you've recommended over the years, they're probably my favorite. The rest is mainly fantasy and I've not gotten through a lot.
So most people would know One for the Money because of the Katherine Heigl movie. Not a great movie.
We saw it together and it was disappointing. Because, I've read the first one so many times and we went in there with high hopes.
High hopes.
Her Jersey accent was Morelli wasn't hot enough. Wasn't hot enough. Ranger didn't even look like what Ranger looked like in my head.
I know.
I hate that so much.
Jason Momoa would have played a great Ranger.
Well, great. The writer
Hugh Jackman would have been a great Ranger.
Janet Ivanovich wrote Ranger after Vin Diesel. Like that was her inspiration. Why don't they just get him?
That's who I saw in my head.
Yeah,
that was who I saw. And I reckon he probably was asked to do it. He went, "Fuck no."
Probably. Not the point. And then you get the closest thing to Vin Diesel.
Yeah. They missed the mark. They did.
They did miss the mark on many of the actors. But
we're not here to talk films. No. Yeah,
we're not here to talk films. And I enjoyed all 13 of the books that I read. 13? 14 of the Stephanie Plum series that I read. I found it hard reading that many because they all start the same.
Yeah.
Introducing the same way. If you don't know who the fuck she is by now, stop reading. You're a book 13, people. Stop fucking reading and go back and read the first one. Oh. Seriously.
Yeah.
So frustrating. But her singular books?
Yes.
Like Manhunt. Metro Girl.
Yeah.
Then, they are amazing.
The ones with Charlotte. What's her name? And they do that. They write it together. So you've got Full House, Full Tilt, and
Full Series, Full Blast.
Full Blast, yeah.
I loved those. Absolutely.
I'm gonna go the first two.
I think I still got them all, so you can borrow one. They were brilliant. I love them. But this week I've chosen to do a series that I have just reread. Or funnily enough, reread the first two and then audioed the rest of them because I like to have them while I'm at work.
Oh.
Yeah, books on audio are amazing for work.
Mm.
So I've chosen the Vampire Academy series by Rochelle Mead.
Okay.
So this series ran from 2007 to 2010 with 6 books in total. You had Vampire Academy, Frostbite, Shadowkissed, Blood Promise, Spirit Bound, and Last Sacrifice.
Just straight off the bat, I'm going to say, this sounds like that it is trying to be a cross between Harry Potter and what's that show I just trashed?
Twilight.
Twilight, that's it.
No.
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 Okay.
No.
I've watched the Vampire.
You watched the movie?
Yeah, I watched the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one came out in 2014.
Yeah.
Very much loved the movie. Actually, that's what got me into reading the books. And the guy that played Dimitri was hot. Like, hot. So plot point. So the plot is, and I will say this, I got all of this off Wiki. Thank you, Wiki, for doing my work for me. I've read the books. I know what happens, but to write it down was just hard. So copy what you have written has really helped me. I thank you. Give you all credit. So Rose Hathaway is a 17-year-old dampier, which is half human, half vampire. So they are the guardians in, well, she's a guardian in training for her best friend, who is a Maroi, Lissa. So Maroi are the peaceful mortal vampires.
Okay.
Yep. These are the ones that,
I've seen the movie and I'm still like, what?
Yes.
They live longer,
yes, but they are mortal. And yes, they still drink blood. So Princess Vasilisa Dragomir, which is her best friend, they are living discreetly, having escaped from St. Vladimir's Academy boarding school 2 years prior. They are soon dragged back to the academy by a very sexy Dmitry Belikov. What? He is.
I don't remember any of these characters. Yeah, keep going. I'm enjoying this.
Fuck me. You go back and rewatch the movie or read the book. The book is so much better. They get dragged back to the academy in Montana and rediscover the dangerous hierarchy within it. As we all know, school is a bitch. Unless, yeah, of course, me, who didn't care about anyone and just went, okay, and walked off on them. So along with the lies.
Or stabbed them sometimes.
It was a pen. You just get a little stabby.
Sometimes you do get. It was a test, and looking back, I should have just eaten the tiny teddies they were throwing at me. But apart from it was irritating, okay? I don't know how magnets work. I hadn't been at school for 2 weeks.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, yeah, Bianca, you're bad. So, yeah, where was I? Derailing me.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So, along with the lies, rumors, and secrets, both struggle to fit into the school politics. On top of that, Rose starts to form an attraction to her Russian dampier mentor and fellow guardian, Dmitry Belikov. So I think she's 17 and he's 24. Yeah, she's all up over him. Well, he's hot, okay? In the books, he's hot. In the movie, he's hot. And, yeah. So there's a little bit of a, student-mentor romance thing that shouldn't be happening.
No.
It's not okay.
So mysterious messages threatening Lissa start to appear, written on the walls in blood, and an exploding memorial to her family, who died in a terrible car accident.
Sounds like Harry Potter, mate.
In the school church. Harry Potter is nothing like this, Amy.
Yeah.
Fuck. Just because it's got some form of supernatural doesn't mean it's Harry Potter.
Yeah, nah. Her parents are dead. She's some sort of, I don't know.
She's a vampire. Harry Potter was a wizard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then there was blood and on the walls and there's messages.
Anyway. Yeah. They suspect that it's all the work of classmate Mia Rinaldi, who once dated Lissa's now deceased brother, Andre.
Okay.
A playboy who, enjoyed the non-committed relationships.
He's a teenager, of course.
Yeah. So Mia was a little clingy and, was a little bit, scorned by his, lack of affection for her before he died died in a fucking car accident.
That bastard.
How dare he?
Yeah, bastard.
So, yeah, she focused all her hatred towards Lissa and persuaded two of her Maroi classmates to spread rumours about Rose by offering them sex, pretty much.
It's gone all cruel.
As you do. Yeah, a little. So then comes in Christian Ozera, who is a Maroi who is looked very much down upon because his parents chose to turn Strigoi. Now, Strigoi were the undead vampires. So they're the vampires you know about, you know, the evil ones.
Yeah.
So
they want to suck the blood, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So they're
he was an evil. He was blah, blah, blah. We love you, blood.
But yeah, so Christian has to kind of live with the stain of what his parents have done.
Blah, blah, blah.
So he starts a romance with Lyssa, but Rose doesn't like this. And lies and splits them up and sabotages their relationship. During all this, they discover that Lyssa has some rare power that the school's founder, St. Vladimir, also had, which was spirit. So all the Maroi, so the vampires, for Amy's sake.
I'm sorry, she has spirit.
They're all vampires.
Cheerleader? I have spirit? Yes, I do. Ooh.
Yes, yes. So they wield the elements. So you've got your fire, earth, air, water. And then you've got.
Waved her spirit fingers at him and went, begone.
Then you've got spirit. So spirit was really much unknown. So what spirit
like
can.
The crap Captain Planet thing is heart. Just like do nothing.
Very much like that. But spirit can bring things back from the dead. Yeah.
Probably not helpful.
Yeah, spirit, but look, it brings people back from the dead. You can use it to really control other people. Dreamwalk.
Hang on a second. If she can bring people back from the dead vampires, because I'm following this. I'm being quiet because I'm following it. So we've got, like, there's half human, half vampire dealies.
Yeah.
And then you've got the mortal vampires. And then you got the undead ones.
Yeah.
Right? Can she turn the undead ones into like normal ones?
Ah, very good. So I'm actually really happy you said that because that actually happens. That subject gets touched on in the later books.
Touched on? Mate, you said she's just discovered she could do this. These people are bad. I would have thought that just takes over at this point.
Spirit wasn't really known. It was rare. It's a rare power. No one really knows what spirit is. No one's really known about it for like hundreds of years.
Zap a couple of people, see what happens. That's what I do. I mean, you're vampires. Yeah. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. So they kind of like.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Die?
Well, yeah. And that's what they want them to do most of the time. Just fucking die already.
But she's a princess. She's one of the I'm going to call them Moriartys, but yeah, whatever. She's one of those ones. And she's, and all her family are dead. Like, why does she give a fuck? So she zaps a few people and shit of the goes royals. Wrong.
I think there's 12 royal families in the book. And she's the last of her line.
Oh.
Which is also in the books is another storyline. So
I'd zap people. I'd have nothing to lose.
They don't zap people, but okay. Spirit also tends to make the users go a little crazy.
Oh, okay.
Though it's powerful, but it has really, really bad side effects, like, you know, insanity.
Yay!
So during, because Lyssa was in the car accident that her parents were in and her brother, so was Rose. Everyone but Lyssa died.
Suspicious.
Sounds like Vampire Diaries.
Rose is still alive, though. So that's how they really found out, because Lyssa brought Rose back to life, unknowingly.
Wait, who's Rose?
She's pretty much the main narrator of the story.
Right, the main character. I didn't pick up who she was. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I mentioned her at the beginning.
Okay.
Mary Hathaway.
It's okay.
I derailed you several times since then, Sarah. Like, I'm supposed to remember.
Sorry. Rose is the main character.
Okay.
Although you do have main characters, she is, like, the main narrating character.
Right.
So, yeah, Lyssa, Rose's best friend, who she's training to protect for when they leave school, Yes, shares the same powers as Saint Vladimir, which is spirit, a power which enables the caster to heal, save the dying, and, you know, all that fucking mystical shit. It does drain the user's life energy. At the same time, dead animals have, you know, popped up where Lissa has gone, surprisingly, because, you know, people are sending her death threats and shit. Mia, however, is horrified because she loves the cats. She loves the cat. So clearly it wasn't Mia who was fucking sending her this shit. Lissa then ends up getting kidnapped, and Rose, Dimitri, and Christian have to run off and save her life. I'm not going to go really much more into that. That's just in the first book, by the way. So I don't want to go too much into it because it is getting turned into a TV show.
Ooh.
Yeah. So from the people, funnily enough, who did Vampire Diaries.
Which I love so much.
Yeah.
Because you are a trashy, trashy, trashy bitch.
It's so good.
I think I got up to season 3.
Yeah, I've seen it all. I started watching the originals, but I didn't really. I mean, I like a couple of characters out of the originals, but I just went back and started rewatching Vampire Diaries instead.
Yeah. So, the main characters are Rosemary Hathaway. So, she's the main narrator of the story. So, a Dampier teenager training to become a guardian, blah, 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 blah. Then you got Vasilisa Dragomir, who is the Moroi that Rose is protecting. Then you've got Dmitri Belikov, who is 24-year-old Russian Dampier and Guardian. He's also Rose's primary love interest. Then you've got Christian Azera, which is Lissa's primary love interest. Then I think it's book 2, Adrian Ivashkov comes into it, who Rose ends up dating. He's adorable. Then you got Mia Rinaldi, who is their enemy at the beginning, but in the later books becomes their friend. In book 4, you meet Abe Mazur, who I think Amy would like.
Why is that?
Because he's dodgy as all fucking hell.
No, Sarah, I like being dodgy as all hell. Yeah, anybody else is dodgy. Hate them.
No, you would like this. He's very influential. I couldn't say that word for a second. Influential. Yeah, Rose doesn't really know who he is. No one really knows who he is and what he does. But he knows everything and he knows everyone. But he doesn't really have a job title. So,
I think titles are important. Yeah, just name him the king of everything. This is fine.
Yeah, see, he's very much, if you were in this book, he's very much what I'd suspect you to be.
Oh, he's an asshole, of course.
He's an asshole, but he's got connections. And then you've got Sydney Sage, a strict but friendly alchemist who helps Rose find Dimitri and later hides Rose and Dimitri while they're escaping due to things that you will actually have to read the books to know about. As of 2013, the book had sold over 8 million copies in 35 countries, and it had a spin-off series called Bloodlines, which follows several characters from Vampire Academy, but centers around the alchemist, Sydney Sage. I read the first one, but had trouble getting through it for the Bloodline series. Okay. I might go back and read it again, just see if I can push myself through, because I find Sydney was a little whiny for my liking, just a little, but she's an all right person, but she's a little whiny. But I do recommend, if you do like things like Vampire Diaries, read this series before the TV series comes out.
Yeah.
Because once I read the book to the first Vampire Academy, I then rewatched the movie and I yelled at the movie.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Same with, what was it? Shadowhunters.
Oh, that's,
I loved the movie because I hadn't read the books. And my sister yelled at the fucking screen a lot. What the fuck is this? This is wrong. How are they silent brothers? I can hear them clump, clump, clumping down the fucking stairs.
Yeah. And then,
and I'm like, calm down.
Yeah, and then from the movie to the TV series, it was so different. I watched the movie and was like, okay. And then I watched the TV series and I'm like, hold on. Hold on. Why are they so different?
Yeah, the TV series goes way off.
I didn't know what was going on. I watched the movie and figured this will be the same thing again.
Yeah, no.
But a little bit more drawn out. That's what I was expecting. You finished off Vampire Academy. That's amazing. I do want to read the books. I will have to borrow it off you.
Okay.
And then I'll have to find the rest because you've only got the first one, yeah?
I've got the first two.
Cool. I'll borrow them.
Yeah.
So the last honourable mention, two of us absolutely love this, True Blood series.
Loved it.
Hated it.
It's terribly written.
It was terribly written, and it was utter trash. And there was plot holes. Oh, boy.
Oh, big ones. Big black holes.
Loved the series. Was hoping to love the books. Terribly written.
That was why I liked it, because it was like for me reading like a Mills and Boone, like it was, and it was trashy and it was vampires and so I was trashy. Just like, I'm all over it. And there was so much more violence in the books than there was in the TV series, which is hard to imagine because the TV series was pretty bloody. It goes way beyond that and actually gets quite horrific.
I rewatched True Blood during last lockdown, during lockdown three. Two. Who knows? It's during that big lockdown where I lost my job, I rewatched the entirety of True Blood. And it is. The books are so much more gory. There's so much more sex too. I mean, I suppose there's only so much sex you can show on TV, but, I just wanted to throw an honourable mention out to you. Charlene. Was it Charlene Harris? Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on, I'll turn around. It's in my bookshelf right now. Yeah.
Mine's packed away in a box.
Charlene Harris. Yes, we loved it. We loved every trashy morsel. It was amazing. We don't care that you fucked up in one of your books how eggs died or didn't die. Yeah, we don't care. Yeah, we're fine with it.
Yeah.
Hated it. Don't write how they speak because my brain can't cope with that.
Yeah, but I know. The simplest thing, Sarah.
Sookie speaking.
Oh, it's so hard. And that's not how you spell those words.
Oh, my God.
No. But that was great because it made me really get it in my head. And every time Bill spoke, in my head, it was how Sookie says his voice. You know when she goes on rants in the TV series and she's like, and what does he expect me to do? And he turns around and he's all like, Sookie, you're new to home with me. In my mind, every time he spoke in the books, that's how he sounds.
And Sookie's fairy cousins who come and live with her are so much better in the books. So much better.
And the fairies in general are just so much better in the books, and they are just nasty pieces of work, a lot of them. They're fucked.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
On the same line, and another HBO series, Dexter was very similar. The first book was like basically exactly the same as True Blood, and then it sort of wandered off the reservation a little bit. Probably because the first three books of Dexter, very theoretical, very much about how he was thinking at the time because he doesn't have feelings. That's a whole thing. Anyway, they sort of start off like in a similar fashion. They start following the books and then the writers go, okay, well, we've gauged the first couple of seasons. Now we're just going to run with what people want or are not expecting. They don't necessarily go with the books. My message to everybody is just keep reading the books though. Because that doesn't mean the books got crap. That's not the reason why they wrote it different. It's not because the books got crap. Sometimes the books are actually
better. Sometimes you just can't film that. What's written in a book, you can't film.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't translate.
Nah.
Yeah.
Works for a book, doesn't work for TV.
Yeah. All right. So I had so much fun researching this topic and deep diving into a few things with you ladies tonight. Whew. But listeners, we want you. Give us topic suggestions. I'm fucking done with it. My brain is like, I'm finding it so hard to think of new things like every week. And we have a topic bank and we all look at it and go, oh, this is what we've got to choose from. We're really, yep, cool. Send us topic suggestions. Friday Night Wi-Fi at gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, anywhere. Just throw some at us. Yeah.
And we want to talk about what you guys want to hear us talk about. Yeah. We can't just be rabbling our shit all over.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to not only a topic suggestion, but you want one of us to talk about a specific thing, go for it. Oh, yeah. If you could pick the exact thing I need to talk about, and I'm in. I don't have to think about it. Oh, I'm just going to research the thing. Someone's told me what to research. I am so down.
Sarah, you're not allowed to randomly email our own email saying Amy has to talk about shit you know I hate. That's out. I'll know it's you.
No, you won't. I'll use a different email if you don't know.
Fake email.
Obviously.
@gmail.com. Fuck you, Amy, @hotmail.com.
Yeah.
How do you know a 90s basic bitch? She still has her Hotmail address. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do, actually.
Hey, yeah.
Sarah still has fuckyouamy @hotmail.com. Yeah.
I was the same one when I was 14. It's terrible. Right. Everyone had these fucking weird ones, and, like, I just didn't. I just went, right, well, it has to be normal because I'm going to have to use it for jobs.
Yeah.
And I didn't for many years. Yeah. Anyway, to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our rubbish. We love books, turns out. We hope that you actually found that interesting.
Nerd.
Look, you can use these facts if you like. I'm not going to tell you not to, because, yeah, definitely read a book.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Read a book!
Yeah.
Is it better when you're reading a book?
Everything's better. Your mind.
Or have audio books.
Oh, yeah.
So you can multitask.
Yeah. So, yes, look. Use these facts. Read a book.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.